Okay. Thanks. I'm going to turn the time over to Mary. She's going to get the show started.
Oh, we're so excited to be here this morning. We love you guys. We love coming and doing this. After Friday night, you know, listening to everybody's stories and stuff, that's always one of my very favorite parts of the conference, because I love to hear everybody's journeys and just such amazing people here. And Peter's like, well, we have to do this song, because this song is so much about all of you. This is a song for you guys. It's written by a friend of ours, Randall Williams. The first time we heard this, I was in the middle of trying to realize that I was leaving the church, and I was depressed and sad and really struggling. And this song was just what I needed.
So hey, you can make music instead, you know, instead of being sad. With the right people. That's what I'm thinking. Well, we brought a couple of dear friends. You know, we had that had songs that we thought you might really enjoy. So
we did. But you know, this is music and a spoken word, and it's a Sunday morning. And if we can't bring you to the Spirit, we'll bring the Spirit to you. So as best as ex-Mormons.
And clearly, if you've left, you need milk before meat. So we thought we'd go back to primary.
And you know, I haven't been singing my primary songs like I should lately, so I brought the words just because I might get confused and I don't want to get them wrong. So.
All right. That one?
Yeah.
Okay. Ready? If you know this one, feel free to sing around. Our prophet has a word for you, and this is the word revenue. A gift or a job, whatever you do, the church would like to get one-tenth from Now, I was talking to a fellow conference goer, and he said, "You know, I was thinking about this whole tithing thing." He said, "I've heard this somewhere before. So, give me 10% of your income, and my boys, the destroying angels, they aren't gonna shake you up." And I got thinking, oh my goodness, is there a little bit of a, you know, that's really interesting. What other kinds of things might be happening here that sound familiar? So actually we brought our friend Utah Slim. Are you ready? Come on up here. He's got a song for you about just what happens if you don't pay your protection funds.
Well, that's part of it.
Oh, I should introduce Jen Hodge here. She's back in at Utah Slim. You'll get to hear from Jen in just a minute, too. You know, if I'm a
Can you guys hear the guitar?
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up, my father was, I don't like to use the word Jack Mormon, but he married a Catholic girl whose father was from the old country and demanded that the children be baptized Catholic. And, you know, somebody had to pay. And I took it. I was the kind of kid who was, you know, sulking or brooding and took everything. I knew I was going to hell. Okay? And I knew I was the one being picked on, and I was the one who had to sit. And then, you know, finally, it was like, do I want to die or take this secondary role, you know, second class citizen role? So I did that. And, you know, it's just, you know, you punish yourself. I'm one of those people that punishes themselves. Anyway, so trying to get and getting back my life and writing about living here in the land of Zion. I went to Southern Utah for several years and trying to discern, you know, the organization, its history, its effect on me and people, because there are a lot of people I like who happen to be Mormon. In fact, I got really sick, and one person, he was a bishop, and we had to be close friends. He gave me a recipe for vegetables that really helped me get a grip and get better. He said, "You know, Rex, you just got to stop bitching. You got to bless your enemies." It's like, I do. Yeah. Okay, so, and the world kind of opens up after that. You guys know about that, and it's a very effective practice. But can you imagine back here, you know, they get here on July 24th, they have to plant a crop. They have to plant a crop in the middle of July, and that, you know, they've got to live that winter. You know, they need an iron-fisted rule. And the more I think about Brigham Young, it's like you got to respect him. Even though a lot of people got hurt, a lot of people died. You know, he kept it going.
I don't think most of us respect him.
I used to take people out on trail, okay? You got to bring the kids back safe. And there's a point where you want literally to kill them so they don't hurt themselves. Now, this is just a 10-day trip. You know, this is back when there was nobody out here. That was it. And I can see that point of view. I don't agree with it, but this is called Porter Do a Drive-By. Maybe I shouldn't have told you that. And Mary can come in whenever she wants to. Say, Brother Smith, did you hear the guns and the horses come thundering last night? Brother Jones, he knew better than to testify. A prophet is a liar. Still, that is no just reason for Brother Rockwell take a saint's life. And I'll bet you dimes to my dollars who's gonna get the younger wife. Ordered to a drive-by, say, Papa John, the Lord will speak through your buffalo gun. Cut him down, Porter, blood is due. Porter, do a drive-by. Kaboom! Don't the trail to the promised land require Old Testament rules? A pioneer needs his prophet like a prophet needs his gold. The saints prayed for Zion, but only Brother Brigham Young could have won him through. There were those dragging down. If I would have been standing in his shoes, I would have said, Porter, do a drive-by, they're pissing me off. Saying my command ain't the word of God. Cut them down, Porter, reap them dudes. Porter, do a drive-by. Come on! Guns and gods and gangsters, they got a grip on Utah's mind. Exclusion's now the boogeyman. Have you seen him do it to a child? If I hold my own truth, no prophet gonna hold no sway. As for that, could you imagine what old Brother Brigham might say? He might say, Porter, do a drive-by on Brother Slim. The Lord wants a big old hole in him. Cut him down, Porter, he won't do. Porter, do a drive-by. Come on! Now, Porter, Porter, don't kill me, please, tonight. I got 12 kids, I got 3 wives. I repented, Porter, and that's the truth. Kaboom!
Told me to keep being the primary chorister because the bishop said you can't really do any harm there.
Yeah. not with the kids.
So Peter wrote some alternate lyrics.
So this one's about, I'm sure many of you are here because of the church's empowering stance on women.
That's why I'm here. Heavenly Mother, are you really there? And if you are, why don't we use your name in prayer? Some say that you won't talk to me, but I would like to try once just to see. Heavenly Mother, they say it's a sin if I try and use your name in prayer again. Why does it cause so much strife to try and talk to Heavenly Father's wife?
Well, there you have it. So since that's the empowering stance we all grew up with, we brought along Jen Hodge. She has a beautiful song that I think will match, maybe for those of you who experienced that version, you can experience maybe a new divine version of empowerment. I hope you enjoy it.
Just the Mormons who try to rewrite history. I wrote this particular song about a story that was taken out of the King James Bible, it was when they were looking at the publishing, they said, "Oh no, we can't tell people about this particular figure. She's too risque." Has anyone heard of Lilith? Yes, Lilith, the first wife of Adam. Very strong, amazing story from Jewish mythology and Middle Eastern mythology, but you don't get a lot of that out of Christian mythology. And probably because we like to believe that Eve was the first, you know, and the only. But I find the character fascinating, and this song is just me wondering a little bit about how things would be if Lilith had stayed, and there had not been an Eve. I was God's first mistake, erased from history. Bible, there's no mention of me. Torn out and replaced by one formed from his own side. I am Lilith, Adam's first bride. You daughters of Eve, servant should. God called me a deceiver, too smart for my own good. I became the serpent, tempted Eve in the grove. I am Lilith, Adam's first betrothed. Thank you.
different from what was first ordained. For being my own person, I am forever stained. But I am the tree of knowledge and the tree of life.
Thank you, and you can find that song and many other excellent ones, Jen, on your album, which you can find, you can listen to online, probably. Jen Hodge?
She brought some.
Oh, she brought some. They're in the back.
They are? Oh, you didn't bring any.
You didn't bring any. She didn't bring any, but if you want to hear that again, jenhodge.com. And you tell, what's your website?
UtahSlim.com.
UtahSlim.com. So, if you want to.
And he has some CDs back.
And he has some CDs back there. So, if you. Feel like you want them. All right. Now we have a real treat for you, David, coming up. David Jorgensen. I'm going to turn the time over to him for a minute.
I was going to say something, and now I got up here and I can't.
I'll go ahead. I'll turn it back over to you.
No.
Turn the time over. That's okay.
No,
we'll just keep it turning.
I was just going to thank Jen and Rex. They're headed out to Oregon, and they actually stopped here to come and play for us on their very long drive. So thank you so much, Jen and Rex. So kind of from here on out, we're going to be doing kind of a songwriters in the round sort of thing. We're just going to kind of trade off with David, and we do have one more special guest that we'll introduce a little bit later, but yeah.
All right. Well, this year I'm going to stay quite positive in my performance. Last year I was kind of like about poking a little bit of fun of the Mormon church, and it showed up on YouTube, and I probably lost a lot of clients over it. But I just finished a record. I've just been recording these past couple of weeks. It's actually, the demo of it is back there, and I'm really proud of it. It's been kind of a lot of years in the making. And I'm mainly a type of a kind of a personal empowerment type of artist. Most of my songs teach concepts, or I'll find a song like this one I'm going to play that actually teaches a real interesting concept about somebody that we're always serving. This is my version of the Bob Dylan song, Serve Somebody. Serve somebody. be a young Turk. You may be head of your own big TV network. You may be rich or poor, and you may be blind or lame. You may be living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yeah, yeah. Worker working on a home. You may live in a mansion, and you may live in a dome. You might own guns, you might even own a bank. You could be somebody's landlord, you might even own tanks. Your spiritual pride. You may be a city councilman taking bribes on the side. You may work in a barber shop. You may know how to cut hair. You may be someone's mistress. You may be someone's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody. The devil, it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Serve somebody. Serve somebody. Thank you. I'll do one more and then they'll do another one.
Yeah.
Mormon for a lot of years, living with a wife who was not a frustrated Mormon. It finally took a major toll on our marriage, and I started down a path of continued spirituality, and that's kind of the thing that I found with most people leave Mormonism, is that it leaves a big gaping hole in their life, because they form a codependency with it, and the Mormon Church teaches that you can't survive your life without it. And it's the biggest lie of all. So this is a song about my search for my own meaning and my own happiness. This is a song where I learned the beauty of surrendering to what is. It's called Just Surrender. I've been taken for granted, and I've been taken for a fool. I've become disenchanted while I've tried to play it cool. And I've changed myself so many times that I barely know my name. When the dust settled all around me, I come up just the same. it comes to God and heaven, I've been angrier than most. Afraid of my own shadow, like I'm being haunted by ghosts. I've even turned to meditation, but my thoughts got in the way. I was looking for some mental medication. All I needed was to just surrender and feel the empathy. Just surrender. I can feel the weight of my whole world lift off of me. I've been through a transformation, and I've found my inner light. In all of my frustration, I've really tried to set things right. I've run from many confrontations, and they've followed close behind. And in spite of all these situations, I always spoke my mind. I've been living in illusion, and I've lived in reality. In light of the confusion, I've still had some clarity. I've wrestled with my ego, and I found myself alone. Even though I try to let go, I've finally learned to just surrender and feel the empathy. Just surrender. I can feel the weight of my whole world lift off of me.
Serve somebody. That was awesome. And both of those were. It got me thinking about this song we're going to play next. Actually wrote this song right at the point when I was realizing that I didn't believe the way I used to, but that I was going to be LDS forever. Into eternity,
because I was so
if
accepting
that turned out by some, huh?
So accepting of willing to let you take that path.
Anyway, I was actually at the time I was working on a song, an arrangement of the song John Henry, about John Henry who dies racing a steam drill for building railroads, and I was thinking about, you know, building the kingdom and being on the gospel train and everything, and it was kind of a depressing thought actually, and so that's where this song came from. Take it away, Mary.
Long way home, Miss Comrade. Long way, honey, to my home. Long way home, Miss
The train. All right. Turn it back over to David.
Well, I have this new record back there that I think I mentioned about. I'm going to try to play everything on it. These are songs I'm really excited about. This is a song I wrote quite a long time ago and just hadn't had a chance to record it. It came from taking a blues slide guitar workshop. I wasn't much into blues and I was never into slide. And I didn't get much out of the workshop, but I did get this song out of it. So it was worth the measly $250 I paid for it. This is called A Journey to My Soul. This is about a guy who looks all over the world for wisdom and goes to all of the ancient places and is trying to find the meaning of life and realizes that the real journey is within all of us. Journey to my soul. I've seen New Delhi and I've made my way through Rome. My journey's ending only finds me right back home. I can't say it's better for the places I've gone. I know their wisdom and I speak their language well. I've heard the stories only hilltop minds can tell. It never sprung me from the trap of my own hell. Well, I've got 1,000 miles inside of me. These 1,000 I can go. And the only way to save me is a journey to my soul. I'm getting ready for a trip I never took. Can't find directions or a picture in a book. I won't know the place until I get me one good look. Well, I've got 1,000 miles inside of me. These 1,000 and it's never coming back. My indecision keeps me hanging on the rack. Hit my best foot forward even though I'm mystified. Cancel all my calls, cause I'm headed for the great inside. I packed a few things and I said a few sad goodbyes. All those attachments only make me compromise. Well, I take you with me, but the road is just my size. Well, I've got 1,000 miles inside of me. The only way to save me is a journey to my soul. I've got 1,000 miles inside of me, at least 1,000 I can go. And the only way to save me is a journey to my soul.
I remember very vividly, Peter sat me down and told me this, and he didn't believe, and my reaction was to crumple down onto the floor and start sobbing in the fetal position, like literally. I mean, it was a beautiful moment. And then
you're cute in the fetal position.
Cried for 3 days, and then decided that maybe we could stay together. I wasn't sure about that. And then it went on. And then I remember the time we were driving along in the car, and Peter was saying, you know, we really need to resign. And I remember that I put my feet up on the dashboard, and I was kicking it, and I was saying, you can't resign, you can't. It was a very proud moment. So, and I'm really glad that I can share that with all of you, and you probably still talk to me, even though now you know I'm completely insane, because you know that it's a common insanity that many Mormons have, and the good thing is that I got over it. So, anyway.
Well, this is for anyone who's ever been a little separated by religion.
Thank you.
will change his color white. If ever I prove false to thee, the day will turn to night. Oh, that
Creek, ladies and gentlemen. Well, this is another song from my new CD. That is a song that took me 10 years to write. I had a good chorus line for it, but I just didn't really know what the song was about. And sometimes you just don't know until you go through a few things. And like I say, I'm dedicated to writing personal empowerment, emotional healing, spiritual awakening type music. And this went along with a new technique that I've been kind of learning about called Ho'oponopono. Has anybody heard of that? Oh, okay. So, you know, it's as your thoughts are streaming and creating stress in your life, if you kind of attach this idea of cleaning your thoughts and cleaning things up by saying, you know, I love you. Please forgive me. Thank you. And what was the other one? I love you. Please forgive me. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's the one I have the most difficult with. I'm telling you. Ask all of my ex-girlfriends. They'll tell you. But this is a song. This is a song that really talks about setting your soul free. And you know, within the confines of Mormonism, for me, it was really about having your soul totally caged. You could not think, you could not really operate outside the parameters of their value systems that they would set up for you. And the thing that really is so sad about it, you know, when I hear about people, you know, you hear the word hypocrites a lot in the Mormon church, and I feel very sorry for these people who have to divide themselves into two different people and live their life this way and then live a life this way. And that's not spiritual strength, that's spiritual weakness. And they're not who they are, and they kind of go through their life as these two different people. And really, if we all set up our own value systems and remain congruent with our value systems, that's about spiritual strengthening. It's really about becoming who you are. So this is a song called Set Your Soul Free.
Of life, it's a curious thing. You say that you want a clear understanding when it's hard to define in logical terms. There are so many twists, just as many turns. Now you think you have all the answers.
taking unnecessary chances. Well, you are playing a circle game, and you'll find yourself right back where you started. Set your soul free. Set your soul free. Set your soul free. Then you'll see. Take a good look at the life that you live. How much do you take? Just how much do you give? Are you a sinner? Are you a saint? Or merely an observer practicing self-restraint? Now you're trapped in your indecision, and you suffer from lack of vision. Maybe one day you'll realize that your spirit's weak and your heart has hardened. Set your soul free. Set your soul free. Set your soul free. Then you'll see. If things aren't going right, just step into the light. You will see a river rising up ahead on the
great-great-grandfather, but not the same great-great-grandmother, because he comes from the first wife, and I come from the second young, pretty wife.
The young, pretty wife. I can't
Anyway, it's great to meet family, and it was great to meet family that wasn't horrified by me.
That's always handy. Well, so we're going to play something new.
We'll see if... We're not sure if Steve's ready. So, Steve saved us today. Throw out a big thanks to Steve today. We were having major equipment malfunction this morning, and Steve got it all worked out. So, hooray for Steve!
Anyone's looking for sound guy, he's the guy.
I tell you, the sound guy is—he's probably the most important element of a show.
Yeah. So Facebook like totally changed how I communicate with people, and I have so many new friends. That's probably a whole bunch of you, actually. So. Thanks, but you know, I did run across my high school friend a while back, and I did have one, yes. and he said, Peter, is this a fake life you have here that you're posting about? Because I know people sometimes do that. And I could understand, you know, he said, because what I remember about you, Peter, is that you were too nervous to order pizza on the phone. And so he said, and I remember Mary, she was very popular, and And he said, so, you know, how did you pull this off? Well, that's what this song's about. And you guys know the secret to getting over an anxiety disorder. Half of that secret is just to quit going to the place that's making you nervous. So. Cold feet, watched others sail while life just passed me by. Always thought that maybe a chance would come to catch them by and by. Then I worry about motion sickness if I get the move on. Get so worried about running right back. I never travel at all. Church each Sunday, did the things I shouldn't, paid an honest tithe, all in hopes that someday God would reward me with eternal life. What about the life that I'm here missing? Feels like I can't catch the ball. I'm so scared of misbehaving that I'm not living at all.
We actually made a new preview CD. We're getting ready to make a new album. The preview CD is just $5, and if you buy the big CD, that's $15. You get the preview free. So anyway.
Beautiful. Well, I have four CDs back there. I have the my most successful CD, which is called The Christmas Guitars, since Christmas is right around the corner. It's a classical guitar duet with my guitar partner, Paul Barfus, who lives in Australia now. And it's really a wonderful Christmas CD. David Jorgensen, Life Survival, which is my first empowerment CD.
my new CD that I just recorded last week that's in a little demo package. And then my musical partner, Christina Osborne, who's the most awesome singer and musician, and I play mandolin on that, and we've put that act to rest for a while, so I don't know whether we're ever going to release that CD anytime soon. But I do have copies of it, and if you want to get all four CDs, it's $40 for all four CDs. If you just want three of them, I'll make you a deal, whatever, but it's... I don't have a lot of them, of the copied ones, but... So I'm gonna play a song about Joseph Smith by popular request. Well, they called him Brother Joseph, a most extraordinary man, with a golden tongue, a magic stone, and a treasure-hunting scam. He would excavate for days on end for a prize he'd never find, but they would pay him for his trouble and be ashamed for being blind. Well, he met a man named Sidney, who was a legend in his mind. He was a narcissistic Christian of the Bible-thumping kind. They would put their heads together with the intent to hatch a plan to sell eternal salvation to every woman, child, and man. Well, do you think he had it coming? And I don't mean Promised Land. Like a king inside a castle, he had a castle made of sand. Well, they found the book by Ethan Smith, Solomon Spaulding too, a then unpublished manuscript, and they knew just what they could do. They said Joseph found some golden plates that explained all the Indian tribes. Then he pretended to translate them with Brother Oliver as his scribe. And the people came from far and wide. His congregation grew. Those who tried to expose him were quickly silenced by the Danite crew. From the skies, and his followers hung on his every word as he delivered his pack of lies. Well, do you think he had it coming? And I don't mean the Promised Land. Like a king inside a castle, he had a castle made of sand. The ladies, they would quench his thirst for power. The more he could convince of his revelations, the more he could deflower. His wives, they numbered 50. Some were married to other men. But his prophecy and his philosophy let him marry again and again and again and again. Well, his wicked ways caught up with him. He was arrested to be tried for treason against the government, and there was no place he could hide. Well, I guess the mob had enough of him when they stormed the county jail, and shots rang out into the summer night from the window Brother Joseph fell. Well, do you think he had it coming? And I don't mean the celestial plan. Like a king inside.
inside a castle. He had a castle made of sand. Now his church numbers in the millions, but most really had no choice from hearing sugar-coated Mormon tales from a mom and daddy's voice. And his leaders sit on a conference stand with the illusion of being kind, and the people pay them for their trouble. They should be ashamed for being blind. Well, do you think they've got it coming? And I don't mean the promised land. Well, these kings inside their castle, well, they have a castle made of sand.
So when you get really frustrated, you can put it on and go, yeah, yeah.
Thank you, David. I felt the spirit.
I felt some spirit.
Well, you know, we want to try to help you feel the spirit, too. We do our best, even though we can't feel the spirit anymore now that all our blessings have been taken from us.
Okay. Well, shall we, you know, I was really hoping that Sarah Palin was going to run for president, because I had the perfect campaign song for her. The campaign hymn.
So here it is.
So we'll sing it for you. You ready?
Oh, I have to.
We call that a Sarah Palinism. It'd be good if I was on. Oh my, we're channeling Sarah. Okay.
I'm building a barn for Jesus to keep all his followers free. Some in other lands just don't understand. So I'm building a barn for Jesus. For Jesus wants an army of those who will do his will. He has no hands but our hands to kill those who Jesus would kill. I'm waterboarding for Jesus, protecting his nation from harm. When those terrorists squeal, it's because of my zeal. So I'm waterboarding for Jesus. For Jesus wants an army of those who believe in his mind. He has no hands but our hands to torture those terrorists right.
I'm covering statues for Jesus.
Babies for Jesus. Oh, Jesus wants an army. sure of the fetus's land. But once they're born, they're his concern. I've given all I can give. I'm reading the Bible for Jesus. But one thing has got me confused. The people he sees with whom he's not pleased all seem to be people like me. Oh, Jesus needs an army to educate people like me. He'll have no hands but your hands, 'cause I'm just too busy, you see. I'm building a bomb for Jesus to keep all his followers free. Some in other lives just don't understand. So I'm building a bomb for Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, no, I'm a hymn writer. Hymn writers always get in trouble. Let's have one more from David, and then we'll have you come up and do a couple.
Distance runner with a personal best, pacing my distance, resisting resistance, keeping one step ahead of the rest. I've been blessed with endurance, no matter what the terrain. I'm blind to distractions around me, and I'm numb to the pain. I'm a paperback writer of both fiction and fact. Pages of dreams bound at the seams with all of my memories intact. So chapter by chapter, the mystery unfolds. It's pen to paper, it's hand to mouth, till my story is told. Firmly on the ground, I can hear the sound of my own determination. Now that I'm free of the need for sympathy and constant validation, I am who I want to be. I'm a Renaissance artist with a scene in my mind, a palette of color, a brush like no other, to lay it out line upon line. So with cadmium yellow and azure blue sky, well, I paint me a picture that nearly quite closely resembles my life. And firmly on the ground, I can hear the sound of my own determination. Now that I'm free of the need for sympathy and constant validation, I am who I want to be. I can hear the sound of my own determination. Now that I'm free of the need for sympathy and constant validation, I'm who I want to be. I'm who I want to be. I'm who I want to be.
Beautiful pieces on my Nina DeVoe record. When we were recording, we sent the files up to Salt Lake, and she graciously went down to the studio and just put the most beautiful violin on a Celtic piece of mine, and then another piece, and it's just so if you pick up that CD, that's Mary playing the violin. She is the bomb. Mary Danzig, thank you.
Much fun. So I want to introduce you to a very dear friend of ours, Chris Orach, who is an amazing singer-songwriter. In fact, he took second place in a huge national songwriting competition this year, Suzanne Millsap's singer-songwriter, and he was awesome. So anyway, Chris is not an ex-Mormon. He was never Mormon, but his wife Gerda is an ex-Mormon. We had many fun song circles where we play music and then we talk about our lives, and Chris looks kind of a little bewildered, but very supportive, and then we talk some more and play some more, and so anyway, Chris, come on up here. Welcome, Chris Orach.
Thank you for that. Let me see, there's a little cord around here. Is there a little,
there, yeah.
Good morning, or I think it's still morning. I'm rarely up this hour. I play like festivals and clubs, so I'm one of those 11 o'clock noon risers. And I've been doing a little recording work, and Mary and Peter were gracious enough to get me in the studio or come into the studio with me and ask me if I would consider coming by today and playing a song, and I said sure. And then about a few days later, I thought, you know, I don't think I have any ex-Mormon songs. there's not a lot of demand on the places that I play. I'm an ex-Catholic. My father was a seminarian. He spent his whole life in the seminary. He was 3 months away from being ordained as a Catholic priest, and he left. And he went with my uncle, who is a priest, home for Sunday dinner while they're at the seminary, and he saw my mom on the front lawn playing catch, softball, with her sister. And thank God he saw her, because I wouldn't be here otherwise, I guess. But he did tell me once, he said, we were sitting having a drink together by the fire, and he said, Chris, once you begin to think, religion falls apart. And I agree with that. So at any rate, but I am married to a, are you an ex-Mormon, honey? I guess you are. Came from a big family. There's some polygamists in her family, and I'm so naive about a lot of this. I mean, I thought polygamy just increased your chances of getting a date on Saturday night, but I've come to find just the opposite problem. So at any rate, I thought, what can I play for these people that would be pertinent to the occasion and pertinent to them, maybe, to you, all of you? And then it kind of occurred to me, well, I'm amidst people with conscience and intelligence and courage. And so there are some songs that apply to that. And so I'll play you one called Chairs and Blankets. And it was inspired by my 5-year-old grandson, who I overheard talking in the living room about a fort that he had built in his living room out of chairs and blankets. And he spent the night in it. And he was telling some of our family, he said, "Even though I was covered in darkness, I was happy." So that's what this song comes from. Even though I was covered in darkness, I was happy. For in the arms of darkness I did dwell. In a fortress made of chairs and blankets, where the only light is from yourself, where no one can follow me till they find the secret key. You leave behind your nursery rhymes, and all I know, it was a high and holy time. Even though I was surrounded by silence, I was singing all the little songs you used to sing. And when the only sound was my heart beating, I knew that yours was beating the same way. And though you can't follow me, here is where I'll always be. You never found me hard to find, and all I know, it was a high and holy time. About a story, any story you might care to tell. Maybe one with pain and hope and glory, where the only light is from yourself. It was a high and holy time. Peace. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Chris.
That was
beautiful. We are we're thinking that you've been sitting for a long time, so we'd like to teach you another primary song.
I thought
we
were
going to
say, come get up and dance.
Yeah.
Well, you can get up and dance.
You might, and you can get up and dance, although this would be an interesting song to dance for when we get up.
Okay, so you may remember there was a song in primary we did that had action, you know, righteously. And, yeah. Anyway, so we got some new words to this, so let me teach you the actions. We go like this. You're good. And then you go like this. And you go. And then you go like this. And then you go. Okay, you guys are ready. You may be familiar with this scene from church history. Okay. You ready? Here we go. Are you ready? You got your. Okay. I'm just not sure of the pitch.
Oh, yeah. We're doing this in a different tuning than we usually do. Yep,
okay.
You got it.
Long ago, Missourians came traveling across our land. We were thrilled because we finally had the upper hand. Line them up and kill them, mother, father, daughter, son. Shot them all in the head, one by one.
All right, well, so...
So Peter's going to submit that when they do a new primary songbook.
Sometimes they have competitions for that, you know?
You know, they turned him down for building the bomb for Jesus. He's still trying.
So disappointing, you know? I want that in the green hymnal with the vomit-colored inside the front. Anyone ever wonder about that inside of the hymnal? I was like, how did they come up with that? So this... this song, actually, we have Jen Hodge to thank for this. She does a murder ballad show. If you live in Salt Lake, you should listen to it. It's the Sunday before Halloween, and she's
on
always
KRCL.
On KRCL, and she's always asking for murder ballads. And so last year I said, oh, you know, I know an awesome murder ballad.
Massacre, your presently shall hear on a crisp October morning. Mountains scream by the light of rising sun. Those warm and bullets scream. Indian garb and color, those bloody hounds will see. Lock around the little tree. The leader of the band, the word to them did give. They would give up their arms and surely let them live.
Yes,
President! I sent me gave the old Mormon to your duty. As soon as they gave up their arms, such an awful sight was never seen in that meadow green before. Now, now, have you no
hell no.
Afterwards, they tried to clean themselves of all the shit.
Without the word as best they could, the Indians were to blame. On a crisp October morning, I'll be up to dream. By the light of sun, those morning bullets scream. No, no, have you no shame? No shame. Men, their duty.
Oh, thank you. So my daughter has nightmares about that song. She said, don't play that one anymore, Daddy.
All right, David.
You want to join me on this one, too?
Sure. Just
Mary's like the, she's like the secret weapon to any singer-songwriter act. I was recently on a Mountain Meadows Massacre thread on Facebook. They got shut down by some Mormon people that that thought we were Mormon bashing. We were just debating on, you know, whether Brigham Young was responsible or not. I made the post, and I shouldn't have made the post, but I just had to say, to Mormons, Brigham Young is innocent because the writer didn't get there in time. But to everybody else, he's like as guilty as O.J. Simpson. It's like, it's just, it's obvious that even if he did send a writer, he could be setting it up as an alibi. I mean, didn't O.J. Simpson jump on a plane and fly to Chicago as if like, oh, I wasn't even there, you know? So it's, but anyway, it was really fun. I connected with a really, really dear friend of mine from my childhood, Linda Worthen, who came to see me play. Came all the way up from where are you, Springville or something like that?
Lehigh.
Anyway, it was so fun to see her. We haven't seen each other for about better than 30 years, you know. And it was like, are you the same Linda Worthen that lived up the street from me? And so we ended up a nice little friendship. So some really great things happened, and it was a really wonderful debate. And it had almost 500 posts before some girl shut it down. And it was full of all of these, you know, all this information, and all of this, you know, all of these great resources and everything about Mountain Meadows. But we've set up our own site that. And when I was doing it, I like quickly texted my friend or emailed my friend Art Vanek, who's here from California, who is working on it, who wrote the book, who really wrote the Book of Mormon, the Solomon Spaulding Theory. And I typed him and I said, hey man, you got to join this thing. And he got on it and really stirred things up. But anyway, this song is a song that's very dear to me. This is a song about being kind of lost, and that's usually what happens in Mormonism after people leave. Because of the codependency, they usually get really, really angry. There's that really, like leaving a codependent marriage, you know, you're just really, really angry for a while, and you just really demonize your spouse, and then you get to a part where you start looking at it from your side of it and feeling what, you know, the darkness and the depression and how much you kind of lost, and then that's when you really do your growth and you kind of find your way back. This is a song called Desperate Man. I look into this crystal ball. I can see the places I have been. Where I need to go. I've lived a life of wandering, in and out of everything I've learned and everything I know. I've risen to the occasion, and I've had my finest hour once or twice for 15 minutes or so. Lately I've been sinking,
and I just can't help but thinking that I've lost my direction home. I've lost hope, lost sight, but I feel a steady pull at me all day, all night. Something's got this hold on me. It's not that I can't fight, and it's not that I don't really understand. It's just that I'm a desperate man. Time has played a trick on me. 40-some-odd years lay neatly stacked like books upon a shelf. Maybe in my youth I was hiding from the truth, but now I find I'm only lying to myself. And I've lost hope, lost sight, feel a steady pull at me all day and all night. Something's got this hold on me. It's not that I can't fight, and it's not that I don't clearly understand. It's just that I'm a desperate man. I'm not looking for an answer. I'm only trying hard to see why I spend so much of my precious time tying up loose ends instead of righting the wrongs inside of me. This hold on me. It's not that I can't fight, and it's not that I don't really understand. It's just that I'm a desperate man. It's just that I'm a desperate man. It's just that I'm a desperate man. Man. Oh, I'm a desperate
Peter, because he always has to retune. Like, we had David here today, so he can go out and retune between. But usually he's trying to retune and I'm talking, and I'm like, okay, honey, this will be my chance to tell the audience about last week when, you know, that time. Anyway, yeah, I come up with all kinds of things. So I always know Peter will hurry when I say I'm going to.
Oh, you're going to tell about me? Ah. So I'm thinking we only have time for about three more songs.
Okay.
And I think David has a couple to finish out with.
Okay.
So, what do you want to play?
Should we do Times Are Changing?
Okay. That'll take me just a second. You're going to have to talk.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
So, it's been so much fun for us to be here this weekend. We really look forward to the ExoMorbid Conference. It's always so fun to meet all of you. We didn't get to come to as much yesterday as we wanted to because we're headed out for Oregon right after... after we get done here, but so we had to kind of get packed and wash your clothes and whatnot. But anyway, it's been so great to see you, and I really enjoyed hearing people on Friday night. I'm always so touched and inspired by everyone's story. It takes a lot of courage to look at the truth, and I went kicking and screaming out of the church. They had to abuse me severely over and over and over before I look at it. But anyway, so many of you just figured it out so much more easily than me. So I'm so proud to know such smart people. And
some of us didn't marry.
I'm just so proud to know all of us. And I love you guys. We have some CDs back here. We have, like I said, we have our Mountain Meadow Massacre song, The Meadow Green. It's going to be on our new CD. And so it's on the preview CD if anyone wants that.
Or you can come back and donate for recording funds. So, and we've got the song we played last year, kind of in honor of Tyler Clementi, who took his life, and against preaching hate, and lots of cool, happy songs too.
Yeah,
you know, great souvenir for your believing family and friends. Bring back some Mormon Pioneer songs from Peter and Mary Danzig. So. This last number is a tune we really love. You know, I think this speaks to what's happening for us and around the world. And so I hope times keep changing.
Thank you.
Well, I think I'm just going to do one more, and I'm going to have the lovely Mary Danzig join me on this. We actually did this song before, if you remember. Yes, you.
Yeah. It was the lovely that threw me off. I'm used to being like the evil.
That is a stereotype that I am trying to change.
Oh, okay.
This is in the key of. It doesn't matter, doesn't it? You'll just figure it out. She's so awesome. But this is a song, this is another very introspective song. These are all situations that I kind of went through as I wrote this. You know, I read a lot of psychology books and self-help books because I'm basically like screwed up guy. And I realized, yeah, join the club. And I realized in this one, this was like the first of, empowerment songs that I started writing. And this was really getting into that desperate place. And really wanting to do something different, and really, it kind of alludes to talking to your higher power, or God, or whatever you want to call it, to help you set your life on the right track. Because if you're not careful with your life, then that's the thing: is we get really lazy with our life, and then suddenly we're in this place where we think, "How do we get over here?" When like a year ago, I was just like, you know, taking off, and things were going good. And it's really about, you know, every day. I think of the poem, you know. Two roads diverged and they would, and sorry I could not travel both and be one travel. Those two roads are always in front of you every day, and you're always having to make that choice toward your own empowerment. And this is a song about self-forgiveness and setting your life straight. It's called Take Me Back.
Water's edge, threw a rock into the lake. I was pondering all of my mistakes. Then a ripple washed ashore, with many others close behind. I realized I'd been so blind, drifting out to sea, never knowing which way the tide was going to turn. Temptation offered up and bridges burned. So take me back to where my life jumped the track, and help me set it on the rail. Now it's time, if you're so inclined, I'm ready to set sail. Then the water turned to glass, and the stillness filled the air. I realized I'd been frozen there. With all the power deep within to change the way my life had been, and all the strength I need to begin again. Drifting out to sea, never knowing which way the tide is going to turn. Temptation offered up and bridges burned. So take me back to where my life jumped the track, and help me set it on the rail. Now it's time, if you're so inclined, I'm ready to set sail. The clouds will disappear and see every single star.
never knowing which way the tide was going to turn. Temptation offered up and bridges burned. So take me back to where I jumped the track. Help me set it on the rail. Now it's time, if you're so inclined, I'm ready to set sail.
Everybody. CDs in the back. A lot of these songs are on my CD.